If you don't get anything else out of today's talk, I hope I can burn this into your soul. You cannot give what you do not have. If we started right there, I really think a lot of the misinformation about Christian could be avoided. God is not asking you to reform your life. He's asking you to dare to trust that you are loved as you are, not as you ought to be. He is asking you to open up your heart and dare believe that Jesus Christ is radical in his love of you as you are right now in this room or watching in your home, hospital, or hotel room. I'm sad to say that of all the preaching and all the churching and all the worshiping we do every 7 days in America, I think we have failed by making much of religion and too little of Jesus. No one has ever made Jesus look too good. If you truly, and if I truly embraced renegade Jesus, real dangerous Jesus, instead of polyester Jesus, sweet wrinkle-free Jesus, Jesus who loves religious people and holiday seasons and candy canes, not the Jesus who went to hell for your salvation. Not the Jesus who hung on a cross and defied Satan and all the forces of evil to win you back. God forgive me when I've made too much of myself and too little of Jesus. And that's what we've been trying desperately to do in this series, Polyester Jesus. Ramping up to Christmas, making much of Jesus. Jesus is not a baby. He is Lord. He is God. He is Creator. He is worthy of our worship, our worship. He loves you more than you ever dared have any right to believe and hope. So we've been trying to talk about what real Jesus gives. Assurance, contentment, peace. Last week we talked about the real Jesus gives rest. I got a lot of great feedback because a lot of us need some rest, right? R-E-S-T, relaxing and at peace. E, enjoying this now. S, savoring this season. T, trusting God's timing. That God will always do the most generous and loving thing in my life, regardless of what the circumstances may seem to say. Today we're going to be talking about comfort. We sing about comfort and joy, but we have little of either. To be comforted is to know Jesus. Jesus says, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I will give you a job. You know, no, I'll give you rest, comfort. You cannot give what you do not have. I think a lot of people who call themselves Christians are just religious people trying their best to get God to like them. You are in a moral deficit with God, for which you could spend 1,000 lifetimes and never make up for. The only bridge to the moral gap, to the pain, to the despair, and to the darkness, and to the fragmentation you feel in your soul, the only bridge to wellness and wholeness is Jesus. This is either true or it's not true. If it is true, it will revolutionize your life. When I told my parents, when I was 18 years old, that I was converted to Christ, they couldn't understand because I was already a Baptist. Can Baptists go to heaven? Hardly. They better have Jesus, I can tell you that. And when I tried to explain to them that something had happened to me, my mother's great worry was that I was being unduly influenced by the girl in the third grade. The religious goody-goody. The holy roller. I don't know where that came from, but that's kind of what got put in there. And if my mother were alive today, I could say, Mama, after 40 years, I'm still as deliriously happy with Jesus as I was when I was an 18-year-old punk. I'm just scratching the scratch of the scratch of the surface of how good Jesus really is. My job, people tell me after the service, man, you're fired up. Well, why shouldn't I be? Unless I'm a hypocrite making my living telling lies. But if I am someone setting you free and lighting you on fire, if I'm a human torch to human torches, bring it on. I'm giving you what I have to give. I'm just being honest with you. If you don't have it, you can't give it. If you haven't been loved, you're never going to be able to love. If you haven't been comforted, of course you can't comfort anyone else. You'll be touchy and hard to deal with. You'll have people rub up against you who will make you angry. Here's the Apostle Paul. The guy who goes one day from being the ultimate insider, connected, educated, sophisticated, wealthy, killers of Christians, to being blinded in a converting moment to Christ. And now he becomes the greatest missionary the Christian church has ever known. Hated, reviled, tracked down, accused, ultimately martyred. This is what this missionary said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. How could Paul say God is the God of mercies if he himself had not found mercy? We give away what we have. If all you are is an angry religious dude, you're going to be a judgmental, hard to deal with dude or dudette. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. In other words, to give comfort, you got to take comfort. Amen. To love, you got to be loved. How do you take comfort from God? Here's some things I'm taking comfort in this morning. I'm taking comfort from Jesus that I'm known. He knows me. I have found over the years, it's not enough to be forgiven. I want to be understood. I have really good, legitimate, rational reasons for my weirdness. How about you? Every stupid thing I've ever done, I can explain. Come on. I've got reasons. Nobody wants to hear them. Except God. He knows me. He understands me. Have you ever said, nobody really loves me and knows me and appreciates me? You would be lying, because there is one is, the rest of us don't care. Can I just tell the truth? We don't care about your weirdness. We're fighting our own. We're carrying our own load of caca. We don't need yours. Come on. That's not a bad word. I looked it up, so don't be emailing me. Listen to what David said. Oh, Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. I love this part. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. Well, why does he let me say stupid things? Have you ever prayed, oh Lord, please don't let me open my mouth and say anything stupid and he not answered that prayer? He knows me. Does that blow your mind? Almost 7 billion people on the planet, and he's big enough to know us all and smart enough and good enough to know us each. Golly, if this stuff is true, it could change the world. Oh, it has, by the way. If you're having a hard time, religious says, suck it up. Read the Bible, pray. Come on, get with it. If you're having a hard time with God, he says, I understand. I get it. I know where you are. I know how you've been abused. I know what's been done to you. Isn't that cool? Nobody knows, man. Nobody knows the mistreatment you have suffered. Nobody knows the way your life has been violated. Nobody knows, but God knows. I take comfort in that. He knows. I also take comfort in the fact that he values me for me. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Are not one of them, or not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are more valuable than many sparrows. That's the one verse I heard as a kid I never forgot. Because it sounded so out of place with all the turn to burn, die or fry verses I heard. God values me. Nobody else did. I'm just a boy from Barron County. Just another blue collar redneck that we need to pay taxes and die because we need the space. Seriously. I mean, if you're not born as a privileged son, if you weren't born on the right side of the town where I came from, you're a nobody. I was born on Columbia Avenue. Ain't no debutantes dancing down that road. I would never forget wondering, do I matter? And the first person that told me that they understood me and that they loved me and they valued me was Jesus. I'm telling the truth. Doesn't mean I didn't have a good mom and dad. I did have a good, I had a good, fine mom and dad. But you know, my mom and dad were struggling for their own self-identity. It really sucks when your parents suck. Because they themselves have been handed a load of religious stuff. I mean, it's really sad when your parents don't have anything to give you, isn't it? And it's really sad when you're a parent with kids who need you to love them, but you don't have any love for yourself, much any love for them. What the best thing you can give them is detente. I'll try not to explode. But if you ask me one more time, Walmart for a Willy Wonka candy bar, I'm going to go nuts. You cannot give what you do not have. Amen? And for some of you, instead of trying harder to be better, what you need is Jesus. Let him love you back to life. Let him love you as you are. You don't like yourself, but he loves you. He knows you. He understands why you do what you do. No one else understands and no one else cares. Does that burst your bubble? I mean, seriously, we don't care. I mean, we wish we could care, but we're just trying to stay alive ourselves. Can I hear a, come on, someone help me out here. Come on, I'm not the only one who feels this way, is it? I mean, I care, but you know what? I'm as messed up as you are. Because, you know, well, that's not true. I shouldn't have said that. I've been a seminary. I'm ordained. I'm an official for God. I take comfort in knowing that God knows me and understands me, that he values me, and that he loves me. I mean, the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever delivered for all time by Jesus, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That's the process of conversion. The poor in spirit are those who understand that they're bankrupt before God. There is nothing, there's no morality, there's no goodness, there's no value that I have to pay my moral offense to God, but my soul. And because Jesus loved me and died for me, I don't have to pay with my soul. He has redeemed my soul, paid my debt to God, and I am free. I am free. Jesus just says, come clean, let me take over. Religion says, suck it up and work harder for God. Right? I'm also take comfort knowing that I'm free. I love Galatians 5:1. As for freedom, the Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of bondage. I mean, I see so many people who call themselves Christians. They have no joy. They have no comfort. They have no passion. They have no energy because they've been dragging a load of their own sin, shame, sorrow, and regret so long. They're just hoping to hold out until they die. And please tell me there's a heaven because this life sucks. Of course, because you're not free. I mean, in Christ, we're free. Free. Free, free from the shame of the past, free from the dread of the future, free from the despair of a meaningless present. Yes, we're free, we're loved, we're known, we're valued, we're included. We're not just sinners. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Shut up. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. You have been adopted into the family. You are clean, forgiven forever in Christ. Yes. Yes, this is true. Well, dang. That's not a cuss word either. You guys need to quit this. I'm coming up with as many creative words as I can. I could say, oh my, that doesn't do it. Dang, that's cool. I mean, I'm known, I'm loved, I'm valued, I'm included. I've taken comfort in that all of my life. I've taken comfort. And you know, the great thing about this is, you know, from this side of where I started, all of this doesn't mean I got a pass. Doesn't mean that Paula didn't miscarriage our first child. Doesn't mean that I've almost died in the hospital. Doesn't mean I've buried my entire family. Doesn't mean that we haven't slogged through the same kind of human stuff that all of y'all have. I mean, somehow I thought if you were a good person and loved Jesus, you get a pass for all that. Only bad people lose their job. Only bad people get a divorce. Only bad people get audited by the IRS. Is this not sick? Seriously. I don't know. Was I taught this or did I just assume it? I heard what my church said. I heard what my parents said. And I just filled in the blanks, right or wrong. I did. And it's not true. None of that is true. Really good people get cancer. Really, 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 really good, godly people lose their marriages. Love is not enough. I've learned that over almost 40 years of marriage myself. Love isn't enough. If you don't know how to love each other well, you can love God, say your prayers and pay your tithes. You can still lose your marriage. Can I hear an amen? Come on, somebody help me out here. I could lie. It'd make you feel better. You dirty rotten sinners. I've taken comfort. And that God loves me as I am, not as I ought to be. And the fact that when He found me, He doesn't leave me in the poop hole He found me in. He raises me up. So I can give to others what I've been given. That's the cool thing about living after Christ. Right? Is that I get to join God in what He's doing in the world. So that my life has meaning. My sin, my brokenness, my suffering, my cancer, my pain makes sense because now I give to others the authentic, genuine, hope that I carry myself. Somebody says, you look like you're having fun. Well, why wouldn't I have fun? I get to clarion call the only hope the human race has ever heard. Jesus, 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 the hope of glory. The hope of your life and my life and the life of every person on this spinning ball. Jesus. Giving that away, giving that love away, giving, man, I tell you what, it's so much fun to be a Christian. It's so hard to be a Christian. It's so hard to be, just hard to love the Lord. There's just temptation. Shut up. I tell you, it's really hard to wake up every morning sober. It's just tough. It's really hard to wake up every morning beside a good woman who loves me and loves God. Even my dogs like me. I mean, it's just hard. It's just so hard. It's so hard to face the insanity and the pain of this world with a God who says, take comfort in me. Amen. I'll make it make sense. I'll make it okay. Yeah, God. So I give comfort. How do we give this away to so many people who need it? Well, one, by accepting our acceptance. Start right there. Before you start preaching and sharing the good news, make absolutely sure it is good news. Right? To you. Have you ever been around someone and they're passionate about something and it's hard not to buy it? Even if you don't need it? May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had. So that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, accepting one another then just as Christ has. That's pitiful. Pitiful. A mean Christian is a person who has not accepted their own acceptance. Therefore, they find it really hard to accept anyone else. Can you accept people? If you can't accept people as they are, then how do you have anything to say to them? All this banter, all this political hatred. The Democrats hate the Republicans. Republicans hate the Democrats. The independents hate them all. The libertarians don't really sure what they believe in, but they're happy. They don't know what about, but they're, you know, they sound like a cool word. Because it's not like the other three. Rejecting, judging. Listen, can you accept another person who isn't like you, doesn't believe like you, doesn't practice what you practice, and live like you live? If you can, then you're going to have a hard time giving other people hope. Folks, I know this is going to burst some of your bubble, but people are messy. Have you figured this out yet? People are messy! They come in one version, messed up. There's messed up one, messed up two, and messed up three. You know what that means? I don't either. I just made that up. There's got to be degrees. I've seen some people who are so messed up, I'm not even sure God understands. Here's what I found. There are evil people in the world, which means these are people who are bent on your destruction and for which they have no reason. But they're very few. Most of the people we have rejected and judged aren't crude and cruel. They're simply wounded and afraid. You ever gone seining a pond? If you have, you probably don't live in a populated area. Seining a pond is where you take a net and you go through a pond and you just dredge up everything inside of it. I remember the first time I did when I was a kid, there was a snapping turtle. My uncle said, don't ever let one of these things grab a hold of you. They will never let go. They don't let go until it, anybody know? Whoa, a bunch of country folk in here. Praise the Lord. Then it thunders. Why does the snapping turtle snap? Because he's scared to death. The only protection he's got. He ain't got nothing else except his hard shell. That's why a lot of people are like snapping turkey. Hard shell and bite your head off. And many of us are more like that than we want to admit in public. We're sweet here. We're special people. Just love Jesus. Love the Lord. But get us in our environment where we feel most threatened. And the hard shell comes out. And the snapping turtle comes out. Hello? You got to accept people. Amen? You listening to me? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you withhold His comfort and love from those who aren't like you, you are sinning. Can I hear an amen? Somebody help me out here. You are sinning. That's why I don't condemn people when I preach. I don't condemn divorced people. I don't condemn Democrats. I don't condemn Republicans. I don't condemn homosexuals. I don't condemn gays. I don't condemn people who root for Alabama, which is really tough. I don't condemn, if I wanted to stand up and find groups of people to isolate and rail on, I could be employed for many years. But what's the good? Does anybody change by threatening and making them feel miserable? And of course the answer is no. So why are you doing it? How do people change? They change in an environment where people accept them. Amen? This is the genius behind the church. The church is not a hotel for the holy. It's a hospital for the hurting. Hello? It's not a gathering place for the self-righteous. It's a gathering of those who have been made righteous by the mercy of God plus nothing. You know how you give comfort? Be accepting. Start doing that at work. I guarantee your workplace will improve. Yeah, but he's a Yankee. Well, you're a... I give comfort when I accept people. When I accept my own acceptance, I give what I have. I also, when I gather to worship, I give comfort by being here today. I mean, we're gathered here today. We're sitting in seats. We came in, we left, we have coffee, we're doing stuff, and people are talking, and people are meeting, and relationships are being formed, and we're walking in. Some of you, some few of you, walk in alone, walk out alone, don't speak to anybody, don't look to the left or look to the right. Because somebody might say, ha! And you go, ha! Because you have been pigeonholed and brutalized and marginalized so long that you cannot believe that you can gather with a bunch of other people who can just love you as you are. Not for where you've been or who you've done or what you've snorted. Seriously. And if we're not going to be this radical community where we love people, where we gather to tell the truth about God and ourselves, then let's just quit. Because dang, we got enough churches in this town to tell lies and make us feel good. Hello? I give comfort when I accept you. I just want to tell you, I accept you, brothers and sisters. You don't have to come up to me and give a qualifier. I accept you. We're here today to worship, and there are no big I's and little U's. All of us come to worship. I love this. Therefore, if there's any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit. That's what we're doing, isn't it? We're laughing. I mean, don't you love the fact that people laugh? I do everything I can to get you to laugh. And when you're not laughing, I'm worried. Augustine said this, when large numbers of people share their joy in common, the happiness of each is greater because each adds fuel to the other fire. You know what he just introduced? The hot poker principle. Now again, there are people who are watching at home, hotels, on the road. You can't worship. Some of you have stopped going to church because you've been beat up. And I'm sorry. I am. But someday you need to get out of that little holy huddle you've built for yourself in your house or apartment and go rub shoulder with some real live sinners. Hello? Because here's the deal. If we are here to worship and God builds a fire as we give Him our adoration as it is, and we come together around that fire, it's called the hot poker principle. If you want to get a metal poker hot, what do? Stick it in the fire. What happens when you take it out of the fire? It cools off. Does everybody figure this? I know this is sophisticated. You get stuff here, you don't get other places, but just follow my train of thought. Isn't it interesting that every 7 days, all the way from the Old Testament, God says, come together, worship me. Maybe God knows the hot poker principle too. We bring the poker into the flame and we get flaming hot and then we go out and live. And it kind of cools off, doesn't it? Some of you are going to leave here in a minute and say, man, I'm fired up for Jesus. You get together in the morning with all these hostile people. And you're going, I love Jesus as to, oh Lord, help me live through this day, please. There's a bunch of pagans, oh Lord, please. Send me to work with a bunch of other Christians. Oh God, don't pray that prayer. Stay with the pagans. At least there will be a rationale for your misery at the end of the day. Henry Ward Beecher said this, I never knew how to worship until I knew how to be loved. This is a gathering of God's people. This is a safe place where messy people gather to meet a merciful God. Amen. Loving us, taking care of us, blessing us, reminding us, getting us white hot again to go out into the real world and live. John Piper said this, and I agree, missions is not the church's ultimate goal. Worship is. And if we worshiped well, we would need no missions. Amen. Amen. I don't have time to unpack that, but thank you, John. I give comfort when I encourage the discouraged. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. That's what we're doing here. We're encouraging one another. We're putting courage in each other. Amen? Firing up, getting it hot. Listen, it's good to be here. Yay, God, for the time that we gather together. I'm trying to encourage you. I want you to encourage each other. And as we take that hot poker out, just let it burn, man. Let the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the fact that He knows you and understands you and loves you and has embraced you will never let you go. Burn. Burn through all the pain and the darkness where you are. And come back in 7 days and we'll do this all over again. We've been doing this, I think today's 274 times we've done this. Yeah. That's a lot of times, ain't it? I ain't near tired. I don't know how y'all are. Also, I give comfort when I know what to say. Let me close with this. I think sometimes I need to apologize because I think I at times overestimate the power of a life well lived. By that I mean sometimes, you know, it's like, you know, we instead of witnessing, just live for the Lord. Sometimes you need words. Have you ever been in a situation where I just didn't know what to say? God gives us things to say. Every graveside I've ever stood at, and I've stood at literally hundreds, I've read this verse. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe, now if you read this in the NIV, this is the New Living Translation, NLT. If you read that in the NIV, it will say, if we believe. If you read that in the ESV, it'll say, if. This is a fourth class conditional sentence, and it's to be translated, it's to be translated to be since. It's the furthest away from a condition to be a certainty. It's an idiom of Greek language. We use this all the time. Since we believe that Jesus died and was raised again. We believe this, right? At the gathering, we believe that Jesus died for our sins and arose from the grave. That he gave his life, he laid it down, and then he took it back. And then, as the first man, as the first person to ever do this, he has now handed that right to each of us. We lay our life down, and in Jesus' name, we will pick it back up. Yay, God. This is what we tell people. Since he was raised, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Jesus, let me ride my Harley on that day. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't know. Maybe he will. Didn't have to be a horse. Could be a Harley. They both begin with W. And what does that mean? Nothing. I just want to see if you're awake. Martin Luther King said this, "The measure of a man is not where he stands in the moments of comfort and convenience, but where he dares stand at the moment of challenge and despair." Amen. We are men and women who want to make it hard to go to hell from here. Plain and simple. We want you to know Jesus and be free. Amen. And then how you live is up to you and Jesus. Praise God. Just do what he says. We'll be okay with that. If you don't do what he says, we'll be okay with that because we ain't either. You cannot give what you do not have. If you're empty this morning, Jesus says, good. Here I am. I am the bread of life. I am the water from which you never get thirsty. Let's pray. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that you will be real to us. Father, I can't believe for every person in this room. I can't believe for everyone watching or listening. But I do believe, and it has transformed my life. After 2,000 years, Jesus, we still can't get over you. Please don't let us miss you in plain sight. Save your people, bless your people, fill your people up. Thrill them with your love, thrill them with your presence, and help them to know that they're understood. In Jesus' name, amen. Go get them. If you can help us take down, please stay about 15 minutes. Thank you. God bless you.